I'm Jenny Faulkner, welcoming you to the Women's Golf Show. Now, this is the golf podcast dedicated to women in golf, from the very best players in the world to the amateur handicapper like me and maybe like you as well, just playing and loving the sport, not brilliant, just loving it. We will be coming to you every other Wednesday for the remainder of the season. So before you do anything else, just make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you do not miss an episode. And by the way, today we have a truly packed show. We are going to be chatting about the top headlines in women's golf on the LPGA and LET, as well as previewing the first major of the season at the Chevron Championship and the Augusta National Women's Amateur. Plus, we'll have some fun and games with our new quiz. Woo! Trust me, you will want to hear that. You can also get in touch with the show by using the hashtag TWGS, and if you are out for a round, go on, share your pictures with us using that same hashtag TWGS. You can use that on Twitter or on Instagram. We'd love to see how you're getting on today, and do drop us any questions. We would love to answer them as well. Now, the Women's Golf Show is very much a team effort, so I'm delighted to introduce my two co-hosts for this year. They are an Order of Merit winner on the European Tour, Beth Allen, hello there, and broadcaster, commentator and former pro, Ali Whittaker. Well, hello to you both. I want to know where you both are. Should we start with you, Beth? Where in the world are you? Because from the last series, this is a very international show.
Yes, I am in Marion, Ohio, which is probably not what anybody expected to hear. So yes, I am actually on a new adventure running a small golf club called Three Sticks. I'll be doing this through May, and then I will be back on tour this summer. So yeah, just sort of broadening my skill set and seeing what might become of life after the tour, if there is such a thing. So yes. It's snowing currently where I am.
Amazing. I love this. You're just adding to your workload by giving yourself a golf club to get involved with as well. Excellent.
Yeah, why not?
And it's snowing. Oh my goodness. What time is it where you are at the moment?
It is 7:30. So
in the morning.
In the morning. Yeah. So yeah. And it's very, very cold.
So it's 7:30-ish, 7:40 where you are. It's 12:40 here, just lunchtime. Let's go and find out what time it is where Ali is. Ali, over to you.
Well, I'm down in Melbourne, Australia, having a couple of weeks off after a very fast start to the year, but it's 10:40 p.m. here, and it's been a belter of a day in Melbourne, so I can't complain about the weather, and I wouldn't dream of it anyway. In March in Australia, it's always pretty gosh darn good.
You see, I think this is good. We're covering the globe through the magic of the internet as well. It's lovely to come together and be chatting golf, actually. And I think since we are going to be talking a lot about golf over the coming weeks, and you are both pretty useful players, I've got to start by asking you how you both got into the game in the first place. Ali, let's start with you.
My intro to golf in a lot of ways was a mix of traditional and lucky. You know, I had my grandfather played, my father played as well. But I had this thing happen where before I think it was the 1998 President's Cup, I was over playing the public golf course, Sandy, literally across the way. They used it for the car park for the President's Cup. And I was over there with my mum and my sister, and we're on the first tee. And then these two guys drive up to us, and they were both fathers of two of the guys in my year in primary school. And so my mum's got up and kind of wiggled her bum around and bunted it up the fairway. And my sister had a beautiful swing, and like elegant all the way down the fairway. She was fine. And I got up, and I distinctly remember hitting it in the trees. but one of the guys was the head pro of Royal Melbourne. He said, "You're coming to see me the Monday after the President's Cup," and that's how it all began for me. So I don't know where I would have ended up if I didn't have those guys drive up to me on the first tee public golf course in Sandy.
Oh, I love that. When I hit the ball into the trees the first time, I took a swipe. Nobody came and offered to give me lessons. Everyone just went, "Steer well clear of her." Beth, how about you? How did it start for you?
So both of my parents are very good golfers. My mom was, you know, a state champion, and then my dad was a pro and a general manager of a golf club. But strangely, they never sort of pushed me to play. It was always just an option. And I played all sports until I was about 15 and I started to take golf really seriously. Still continued to play other things, but then I got pretty good at golf and I decided that that was what I was going to do in college. And I got a scholarship to go to uni. And then, you know, about 8 years after I started playing golf, I qualified for the LPGA Tour, which is weird nowadays because, you know, a lot of players on tour are teenagers. So it was a late start for me, but it was great because I feel like I was exposed to other things and the burnout didn't come until later in my career. But yeah, it's been a great way. And my family all played together growing up and every Sunday and I loved it. So and we still continue to play together now.
Oh, you see, I always imagine it must be a very glamorous life being a pro golfer and having done it, both of you. Is it as glamorous as it looks? You just get to go on holiday to these amazing places, play golf on beautiful courses. Is that what it's like?
Well, yes, but no. It comes with a very vast disclaimer, Jenny. And Beth and I actually travelled together on tour for a while. So some of the stories that spring to mind, Beth was a part of. I remember in Italy, we had this tournament in Perugia. And I think it was about 2014 and 2015. And we've ordered
this. You know, all the way through this story, Beth's like looking at you going, what are you going to say?
There were a lot of stories from Italy, I can tell you that much. But, you know, one of us will look up a house. They'll be in charge of booking it that week. And then we'll send it round to the others. So we found this great looking place, you know, in Tuscany, on top of a hill, overlooking the vineyards. It was great. So we rocked up. We realised that only one level of the house was actually for us. The other one was blocked off. And there were 10 Italian men, every single day there at 7 a.m. renovating the pool right out front of the house that wasn't on the listing. I know there was a couple of things that Beth experienced that week as well. Your heels, Beth? Do you want to tell that story?
Well, of course, you know, we go to pro-am parties every week. That's one of the perks of being on tour, especially in Italy where, you know, there's lovely wine and food. So I took the opportunity to get dressed up, but kind of didn't appreciate that we'd be on the grass the entire night. So I had heels on and maybe a few glasses of wine and somehow got stuck in the grass. The heels dug in deep. And then I found myself on my back. But not to worry, I got up quick.
Like styled it out very well, yeah, there by the sounds of it. Okay.
Definitely.
I have a feeling that we might hear a few more stories over the coming weeks. And I think that this might just be the star. Ali, you've got off very lightly here so far. I have a feeling that we might have to get Beth to start thinking up some stories on you just to balance things out.
I've got a garden full of dirt. Yeah, there's so much. It's terrifying.
Well, I look forward to hearing them. It's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to us getting together over the next few months, talking all golf. Every show we will be bringing up to date with what's going on at the top of the sport. And a lot has happened already in these first few months of 2022, hasn't there? Ali and Beth, are we going to run through some of the top stories?
Yes. Let's start with the most recent result from the LPGA Tour. Atia Thedicol won her first LPGA event at the JTBC Classic in Carlsbad, my old stomping grounds. And remarkably, Atia has only finished outside the top 10 five times in the Rolex rankings event since the end of 2019, and now is up to fifth in the world. And just by the way, she's only 19. And she beat Nana Madsen in a playoff, who herself won in a playoff in Thailand a couple weeks ago. And obviously, Nana has been a strong figure in Europe and on the LET and is really making strides on the LPGA right now.
Yeah, there have been a couple of first-time winners, haven't there, as well, so far this year, when you think about, you know, Denmark and Ireland as well. Jenny, you know, I don't know, did you tune in? Did you see the win of Leona Maguire? She got a ticker tape parade when she went home after the Solheim Cup. It's pretty cool how much they've been getting behind her. On the LPGA, Danielle Kang, Lydia Ko, Leona Maguire, the aforementioned, and Jin Young Ko, the world number one, the dominant world number one. have all won. We've had six different winners from six different countries, which I just always think is so cool to look back on. And it's a great start to the year because it's kind of like everyone's throwing their hat in the ring. And I guess you could say for Danielle Kang, she literally has done that because she's been training with UFC fighters over the breaks, which is quite interesting. So she's out there training with kind of 30-year-old UFC fighting mums as well.
Is that normal? Is it like for golfers to go and train with UFC fighters?
No.
Just thought I'd check. I was like, that's really... Wow.
Yeah, I guess as a general rule, we'd probably kind of stick to the TheraBand stuff. And yeah. Maybe, you know, anything stretchy we love. But Danielle Kang, you know, she's always looking for that little edge. And I quite like the way that she thinks because she really does try to push herself into new areas. And she says she's been learning from them in terms of discipline as well and trying to kind of hone into her nutrition. And I think that's going to be a really interesting space to watch, not dissimilar to Atiya Titikin as well, who won last week. But yeah, I'm trying to think back. There was Georgia Hall as well, wasn't there, Beth?
Yeah. And on the LET in Saudi, a very windy Saudi, Georgia dominated. And actually, I haven't seen much of her this season. Seems like she didn't play in Asia. But yes, went to Saudi firing on all gears. And she's now back in the top 25 in the world and on top of the race to Costa del Sol. So I expect big things from Georgia this season. And she's alongside Esther Henslett, who defended in Kenya in February. And also Lynn Grant won in Joburg last week on the LET. And she's having a great season down there. She's been spending a lot of time in South Africa playing the Sunshine Tour, only recently turned pro after a really, really strong amateur career. And no big surprise that she won in Joburg last week.
One of the things I did really want to tick off, and I hope you'll excuse me for kind of jumping in again, was the 2021 inductees to the Hall of Fame. You know, I think, you know, Tim Finch and Tiger Woods, obviously with Tiger there and his daughter Sam doing the speech and that kind of thing, took a lot of the spotlight. But I don't know if you've heard of, there's two women that were also inducted, and there's one of which that just really cracked me up when I listened to some of the quotes that came from the night. Her name is Susie Maxwell Burning, and she was a three-time US Women's Open champion. She was 80. She is 80 currently. And gosh, she's still got so much sass. So she gets up at the Hall of Fame induction, spoke to Tiger during her speech saying, look, I've won, you know, three US Women's Opens. If you want to, at any stage, you know, given I won a total of $16,000, if you want to switch checks, then just let me know. just one. If you want to switch the checks, and apparently the whole room's in stitches. So I just thought that was really nice and great to see, you know, a tribute paid to the women that paved the path that Beth and I and yourself, Jenny, as well, that we all walk on. And another was Marion Hollands, who was born in 1892. And she passed away, sadly, in 1944. But in between, there was a US Women's Amateur win, a Curtis Cup team. She used to race cars, but she also got into to course design. So it's kind of nice for us to get to know those characters, I think. And I just thought that was really special to be able to kind of go and look back on.
Something we're all looking forward to this year is the legendary Annika Sörenstam looks set to compete in the US Women's Open for the first time since 2008. The 51-year-old is filed for entry after winning the Senior Women's Open last year. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, she played in an LPGA event last year in Florida and made the cut, which is pretty impressive at 51. And after not competing for such a long time, too.
I mean, the age ranges are huge, aren't they? I mean, you're talking about how, you know, you've got 19-year-olds smashing it, and then you've also got 51-year-olds who are still playing. The age range is massive. I love it.
Dame Laura Davies is now 54 or 56. But, you know, she's still out there every week on the LPGA, and I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. And, I wonder if Kari Webb's just kind of sitting there. You know, Beth and I know Webby quite well, going, should I put my hat in the ring? It's not surprising to see Annika, though. I think after, because she played, what was it, the Tournament of Champions this year as well, and came runner-up in the celebrity division there, you know, and made the cut at Lake Nona. And so there was kind of, I think that was her little tester. You know, she's just dipping her toe in, trying to work out whether she could be competitive. But I know her son, Will, was out there and got in her ear and said, you know, it'd be nice to have something to train for, wouldn't it? And I think that's how that all how that all kicked off, which is really lovely. I guess I wouldn't mind taking this moment as well to just give a little shout out to Nellie Corder. You know, we talk about who's playing and who isn't at the moment, and she's going to be absent from tour for a little while. She's doing this photo shoot down in I think it was down in Florida, and she just noticed a bit of swelling in her arm and went and got it checked out, and it was actually a blood clot. And so she's going to go and take some time, and I'm just so thankful that they went and got it checked. You know, it's something that when you travel for a living, I think sometimes we can be a little bit lax on that. She went and got it checked, and we're wishing her, you know, a speedy recovery and sending her all her love, and we hope to see her back out on the golf course.
Oh my goodness, she must be desperate to get back out there already, because you know when there's something you love doing that you can't do, it's more frustrating than anything, isn't it? So yeah, wishing her a speedy recovery and hope to see her back out soon.
Yeah, she's gone over to support her brother Sebastian, who's on the ATP, and so she's kind of living the tennis life, and she's just been, like, if you follow her on social, she's kind of been sledging them on the side, which I think is absolutely hilarious. So she's always had a great sense of humor, and yeah, it's you know, one of those things where you just you live, you learn. Hopefully she can get past it, and I'm no doubt she will do that.
Well, there's plenty to look forward to in 2022. But if we chat a little bit of 2023, we have some Solheim Cup news.
We can always talk about it. There's always something to talk about. And especially right now, because recently Stacey Lewis was awarded captaincy for Team USA. And of course, we found out in November of last year that Suzanne Pettersen, which wasn't a big surprise, was named captain. But I think a lot of people were a little bit surprised to hear about Stacey because, you know, she's only 36. She's still competing. And I know she hasn't ruled out becoming a playing captain. And Ali, I think you may have talked to her a bit about that in Asia.
Yeah, I had a really good chat with her on the range in Singapore. I was out covering the Asian swing and caught up with Stacey and her caddy, Travis. And you know, first of all, she was happy to talk about it. Like, she's so excited for the opportunity. And Stacey can be somewhat reserved. I've known her since we played college golf together. She beat me in the North and South at Pinehurst. We'll have words one day about that. But she ended up being pretty good. So I guess in the end, I could probably let myself off. But yeah, she was talking about just the amount of detail that is appointed to the captain. So, like, there's certain things that you wouldn't think would be in their jurisdiction, but she is literally picking the menu for what the team eats that week. Like, she's working out the menu. She's decorating the room. Like, she has to pick the designs that go on the wall. She's got to work out, you know, if they want a table tennis table or foosball or pool tables and stuff. It is literally every single detail gets run through her, which she was shocked by. You know, it's just how in depth it was. It was quite interesting to hear about it. And I think she's been quite smart in the fact that she's got Morgan Pressel, you know, under her wing as well. Morgan's, she's got a great analytical mind. She's incredibly intelligent, but also now she's a commentator and she's going to be watching. And you see so much more as a commentator than you do as a player. So I thought that was a nice little appointment. And those two, you know, the next wave coming through.
I had no idea they had to do that much. I thought it was like they just got given this captaincy. I thought they've just given it really early and then they don't actually have to do anything till much nearer the time when they select their team. But oh, wow, there's quite a lot.
Yeah, I think it's quite funny, isn't it, Beth, when you think about, like, and you, it's for whatever reason, because Suzanne Pettersen and Stacey Lewis are kind of, they're like, they're both quiet, fierce competitors. So you can just picture Suzanne getting this menu in front of her going, look, is it the chicken or the fish?
No, totally. And then it was actually my hope when Suzanne was named, you know, it's natural to kind of think about, well, who is Team USA going to choose? And it was my hope that it was Stacey, just for that reason, because they're both so fierce. And, you know, if there's some sort of controversy, it'll be so interesting to watch them, because they're both quite, you know, they're both, They'll stand their ground for sure. Nobody's backing down. And I think it's going to be so exciting. And especially in Spain, you know, that's a new venue to have Solheim. So yeah, lots to look forward to in 2023.
We'll look at what's coming up for the pros in the next couple of weeks shortly. But now, well, it's time to introduce the fourth member of the Women's Golf Show. A very warm welcome to the show, Iona Stephen. Hello.
Hello, Jenny, and hello, gang. Thank you very much for having me back on. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm tuning in once again from not so sunny St Andrews, I'm afraid to say.
Oh, well, it's not so sunny. I thought there was meant to be some decent weather up there at the moment.
Yeah, I think we've run out of luck. We've had our summer already and we're heading into autumn.
Oh, it's so frustrating, isn't it? When we had that sun the other day, I was like, this is it. This is it. It's going to be perfect golf weather from now till September. But no.
Yeah, the winter jacket was well and truly back on this morning, but it's still blue skies. So it's not all bad.
Good, good. Right, okay, well, our first question, we've been chatting about how we all got into golf, so you might as well share your story. Come on, hit us with it.
Ooh, I'll try and keep the short answer, but unlike Ali and Beth here, I started golf when I was 19 years old at university, and at that time I played field hockey, and a few of the girls invited me to go and play, and in that moment I thought, why am I not playing this game? This is absolutely ridiculous. Shortly after, I went to watch the AIG Women's Open at Carnoustie, and I remember seeing players like Katrina Matthew, Paula Creamer, Kylie Walker, and thinking, I want to be like them. And shortly after, I had basically quit everything in my life except for golf, and I was determined to try and play it professionally. And it was, yeah, it really got me under its spell. I was addicted, and I still am to this day.
Iona's enthusiasm, though, for people like Beth and I that kind of, you know, like we started golf so, so young. And then Iona pops up into my life and she comes in with this, all of this positive energy. And it's been such a nice addition into you know, I think broadcast, but also into the lives of a lot of the people around her. So I can't wait to hear. And let's talk a little bit about your segment, because you meet more people than anyone I've ever met. I just want to put that out there to start with. So what do you have ahead of us for this year for Iona Meets? I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it too, Al. I am very lucky. I love people, and it's parts of my job like this that I really thoroughly enjoy, because I have my own series now called Iona Meets, obviously in conjunction with the RNA. So it's right up my street, because basically I'm just going to meet wonderful women around the world in the world of golf. And I've kicked things off with meeting two fabulous golfers on home soil here in St Andrews. I met Janet and I met May. Janet's 79 years young and May is 88 years young. And I met them on a dreary dreich day where it must have been about 2 degrees Celsius. It was pouring with rain, and they arrived on the first tee with big smiles on their faces, fully clad. If you're a Scottish golfer, you know how to dress for the weather. There's no such thing as bad weather, just bad apparel. And they turned up with all of the full regalia on, and off we went. We played 9 holes. And even though there was golf clubs coming flying out the hands at some points because it was that wet, we had a wonderful time. The spirits were high, and it was a true joy to meet them, actually, and to learn how golf is very much still a part of their lives.
Hello, Janet. Iona, nice to meet you.
I think I've seen you on the telly.
Yes, well, you have.
If you watch golf, you might have.
And here's me.
There's me. Hello, nice to meet you.
Elbows
as well. You look like you're wrapped up for it. Good,
yes,
for you.
Yes, you need to be.
I like the hat.
Well, as long as it stays on, that's the main thing.
So how long have you both been playing golf?
Too long.
How old were you when you started?
Oh, teenager maybe. Started seriously. Mind you, I gave up for about 6 years after my husband died.
Right.
Because I just didn't have time. I had a demanding job.
Of course.
And then when I was coming up to retirement, I thought, right, I'm taking up my golf.
Getting back into it.
Yes.
And did it all come back to you quite naturally?
Oh, yes. It's like riding a bicycle.
You know, to come out, you've got to think of the alternative of today. If you didn't play golf, you'd be at home on your own, and you might just stay in, you know, you'd be sitting down all day, maybe all cozy inside, but how would you feel at the end of the day in comparison to how these two ladies are going to feel at the end of this 9 holes? It'll only take them, you know, an hour and a half. I'm sure they'll fly round. To be out here with friends on a day like this is just fantastic.
I mean, you get companionship. You're out in the outdoor, like, especially being a member of a club.
Yeah.
I think being a member of a club is one of the best things.
Yeah.
If you're left on your own, like that, and the family grown up, you know, and that sort of thing.
Of course.
It gets you out, it gets you into company,
yeah.
Socialising, meeting other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is the first time I've met this lady. She's just a new member.
Right.
Here, so... It widens your horizons tremendously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you find that you feel fitter because you play golf?
Oh, I think so. I feel pretty tired. It's when I come off,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm sometimes stiff now. But then tomorrow morning I'll go to the swimming pool, to the water aerobics class, and that'll loosen me up.
Very good.
Completely.
Do you feel quite sort of satisfied after you've had a round of golf?
Oh, absolutely. And you sleep so much better too.
I had a long time when I didn't play a lot of golf because I had small children. I got back into medicine. And so I used to play intermittently, holiday golf and stuff like that.
But were you quite glad that you could pick it up when you wanted to?
I think so. And I honestly think it's been one of the fun things of being retired.
Yeah.
Because it brings you into contact with a lot of people.
Mm.
And people who I'd never met before.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun and friendship and kept healthy.
Yeah. And you feel as you look ahead in your life, you know, a lot of people say, you know, as you enter different stages in your life, perhaps when you get into that more experienced stage of life, sometimes people can get quite lonely. And
yes.
There's been a lot of research now to show that golf can ward off loneliness.
I'm sure that's right. I'm sure I'm quite happy, lucky in that my husband's still well and we sometimes play together. And we live in St Andrews, you know, and the opportunities here to play golf are amazing.
Yeah.
Seven courses.
You really are spoiled.
We are very spoiled. Yeah. And we know it.
Yeah. Yes! Well done! Straight down the middle. Also an easy game.
I love that. I love May and Janet. How brilliant are they?
They were exceptional. Big smiles all round. Huge enthusiasm for the game. Zest for life that was infectious. I'm 31 years young and I find myself feeling, you know, revitalised and ready to rock after waking up in the morning and thinking, oh no thanks, not today. And I went down, met them on the tee, and I can remember, you know, at the beginning of my journey into golf, that was a big part of it for me, actually, was that sense of connection and, you know, engaging in a community that is a bit like, you know, hockey, which I played prior, as I mentioned. You want to feel part of a community and part of a team and almost have that extended family, and that's what golf can bring into people's lives. And it certainly did bring that into the lives of Janet and May. And May in particular was 88 years old. I mean, it was just superb. She was heading fast towards 90 and you would never know. She was out there rocking and rolling, and she was a fierce competitor. Let me tell you, I would not like to find myself up against May in a match.
Can I say, I love how they acknowledge, you know, how it really does ward off loneliness. It gets you fit. There are so many advantages to getting out there, but you're right, the golfing community and giving you friendship and giving you a good social life, no matter your age, it really does have that going for it.
It's one of those things, isn't it, where, you know, when you get these generational gaps, golf is such an excellent sport that can bridge it so quickly. Like I look back, I was the youngest girl to join my golf club, and I had this bunch of women that were between probably mid-50s to mid-70s, and they were so much fun. You know, they swore if they missed a putt, which was really funny to like a 13-year-old. I thought that was hilarious, you know, and it was a great way of kind of easing me into the community. But they'd go out and they'd, you know, they'd decorate a tree behind the green for every Christmas. We'd have the Christmas day and everyone would bring tinsel in their golf bags and stuff like that. And I just think that kind of zest for life and from the generations have just got so much to contribute to the ones that follow.
Yeah, Ali, you know what you're saying about how people of that generation swear. I play with my mum and her friends. They're all in their 70s. God, they swear like troopers. I'm like, you don't have a language like this, do you? Honestly, it's astonishing.
Well, my mom's group, she's 75, and her group, they do shots for birdies. So they have like butterscotch schnapps in their bag. And every time, and I'm always worried because we play like short courses. So it's like executive courses with reachable par fours. And sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, I hope I don't make birdie here because I don't actually want a shot because it's 10 in the morning. but I can't believe, I mean, they love it. And as you say, I think it is, it's amazing for me to play. I'm 40 years young, but it's great that I could still play with my mom, who's 75, and then her pals who were from, you know, from 50 to 90, and we all have something in common and something we love to talk about. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
I would just jump in with the caveat, the shot taking with the original seedling that sprouted this idea, which was a series called Iona Investigates Golf and Health. And delighted to say that series, which is in three parts, is coming to a screen near you very soon. And that sort of led on from our investigations through that series, led on to Iona Meets, where we're going to deep dive into specifically interesting women in the world of golf, because I think it's really important to sort of champion these voices and to find out a little bit about who's out there and what role models do we have. Because again, just linking back to that initial question, Jenny, about what got me into playing golf, it was role models and seeing, you know, compatriots of Beth and Ali that were playing and thinking, gosh, if they can do it, maybe I can do it. And that's what I think is so important about this new series, Iona Meets.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're all looking forward to seeing what else you have up your sleeve on the Women's Golf Show in the next few weeks, who you're going to meet next. So we look forward to that in a couple of weeks' time.
I'll look forward to it too. Thank you for having me on today, and we'll see you all very soon.
Yeah, and if you see me and Janet, say hello from us.
I will do. We'll all get a game together soon. But bring your A game, Jenny, because May's not mucking around.
So we will get on to what we have to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. But first, oh, ladies, be scared. It's time for a bit of fun. Ali and Beth, are you ready for this game? It's a biggie. It's called Par 3, Par 4, Par 5. There we go. It's very easy. It's so easy. You'll love it. I have some famous women in golf. And for each, I have three clues to their identity. Okay. So if I was to say, would you like par 3, par 4, par 5? Well, par 5 is the easiest option because you get 5 words in your clue. If you went par 4, you get 4 words in your clue. Par 3, obviously 3. And to raise the stakes even further before each round, well, you'll both call your par. So, do you risk going for the hardest clue, or do you play it safe and go par 5? You get 3 points for par 3, 2 for par 4, 1 for a par 5. Do you get it?
Yes.
Good. Spent absolutely ages working this out, so I'm so pleased it was clear. Okay, so now Beth, since you won the coin toss, because obviously we're taking this very seriously and it's a very competitive game, you basically get to choose whether you start or not.
Well, I'm going to start and I'm going to back myself and I'm going to choose a par 3.
Par 3. Oh, here we go. Right. Okay. Let's see if you can get this right. Here we go. Our first round is for a current player. Par 3, the clues are, wasn't born Japanese.
So do I get another clue?
No,
that's it. Wasn't born Japanese. That's 3 words. Okay. Yuka Sako.
Yes. Have you seen the answers?
No.
Well done.
Of course not.
Well done. Would you have got that, Ali?
That was a goodie. That one I did know. I'm not sure about if I'm going to get my one, though.
Okay, right. So so you've got 3 points there. Okay, now it's your go, Ali. What do you want, par 3, par 4, par 5?
If I can go for par 3, I'm definitely going to try and match BA.
Okay.
Tactics.
Par 3. It's another current pro. The clue is 401.
Leona Maguire.
Yes, that's well done. Obviously, 401, her Solheim Cup record. Excellent stuff. Okay, so it's a draw here. Well done. You've both got 3 points. The next set of clues are for a tournament. So I guess we'll come back to you, Beth. What would you like to do? Par 3, par 4, par 5?
I'm feeling intimidated because I didn't know the answer of the last one. Until you said it, then I knew it. Par 4, I'm going par 4.
Okay, here we go. Mission Hills host venue.
Oh, Chevron.
Oh, correct. You've got that. Well done.
Well, I almost said Dinosaur because it's always Dinosaur in my heart. But I caught myself. Chevron.
Okay, well done. You get the 2 points there. So you're now on 5. Now, Ali, you need this. You need this here, okay? And these set of clues are for an off-course personality. What's your par? Par 3, par 4, or par 5?
I'll go par 4 as well. I'll try and matchy-matchy.
Podcast and broadcast host.
Ooh, podcast and broadcast host. Podcast, oh gosh, there's lots of them, aren't there? It's female. I mean, there's, you wouldn't pick one of us.
Okay, I need you now to take a guess. Look at Beth. Beth's actually looking at you, willing for you not to get this right.
No.
I can see the look in your eyes.
Oh, there's so many good women in broadcast.
I just need one.
I'm going with Henny Zewell.
Oh, unfortunately.
Is it Sarah Sturck?
We were looking for Hallie Ledbetter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, Ali, this has not been your week. Well done for the very first episode of Par 3, Par 4, Par 5. Beth, you are the winner. Well done.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. What do I get?
You have to make a speech. No, you don't.
I'm joking.
After all that excitement, I know it's hard to calm down a little bit, but we have to get back to talking about some current golf. It's only a couple of weeks until we are with you again. But in that time, unbelievably, we will have had the first major of the year. It starts on Thursday. The Chevron Championship has a new sponsor and thus a new name for 2022 with Thailand's Patty Tavanata. I can literally struggle when I say this. You guys flow off the tongue with this one, don't you? Patty Tavatanakit, is that right?
You nailed it.
There we go. Returning to defend her title. So, Ali, can you remind us of how extraordinary a win it was for her last season?
Yeah, I think it was a massive win for Patty for a number of reasons. It was her first win. So she's just the sixth person in history to win a major as their first title, which was pretty incredible. I think the second part of the equation was who was chasing her last year. So in the end, Nellie Korda and Brooke Henderson ended up in shares of runner-up place. But she had, I think, to start the day, I remember watching it. You know, when you get the, you know, every now and then, like you watch a final round, you get really excited about it. And this is one of those for me, because Inbee Park was 3-under through 3. Lydia Ko was 4-under through 4. and then you've got a rookie trying to win, you know, for the first time as a major. But she was just really impressive, to be honest with you. She had a chip in for, I think it was eagle on the second hole, and pretty much overpowered the golf course. You know, I think it naturally sets up quite nicely for longer hitters, but she just showed that she had pretty much all the shots in the bag under pressure. And as a rookie, that was really incredible stuff.
Yeah, really, really impressive. I mean, also, we're talking about the event. Beth, it's got a new name, but it is still in California at the Mission Hills Club. But that's, is it the last time after, is it 51 years it's been there?
Yeah, sadly, yes. I mean, all good things must come to an end, I suppose. But this is really a bit heartbreaking for me because this was the first event I ever went to. My first women's golf tournament. I went when I was about 12. My mom took me. I still have the t-shirt that she bought me with the Kraft Nabisco Dinosaur logo. And when I heard that the event was moving to Houston, I was gutted. And I think that like lots of people are. But as I said, it's exciting. Chevron's a brilliant sponsor. They obviously have ties to Houston. It makes sense for it to move. But yeah, it's a historical place, Mission Hills, and it'll be sad to see it off the schedule. But my hopes is something else will replace it. Maybe, you know, it'd be so great if a women's senior event went there, or even, you know, an Epson Tour event or something. But, and I'm also hoping that there'll be some sort of a special send-off this year, as it is the last year. So I don't know if you know something about that, Al, do you?
Well, I don't know any details, but I've heard murmurs that the fact, like in my head, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of like, you know, A League of Their Own, mm-hmm. you know, that this used to be my playground, you know, and like the montage. I just feel like, you know, that's kind of what so many of us are kind of craving this week. And I know that they had their champions dinner last night, which is something that they've kind of tried to build, where they all get together and, you know, had a Michelin star dinner and stuff like that. So hopefully, I know that a lot of the past champions are and will be there. Amy Alcott always seems to kind of pop up there, as she should. You know, we'll touch on that in a second in terms of kind of her influence on the event. But I do think there will be some kind of tribute paid, yes.
Does that also mean that you lose the venue where everyone jumps in the water?
I hope not, but I feel like it might. But what I hope is that this course in Houston has some sort of a body of water, and if it doesn't, they should just put like a kiddie pool to the side, you know, so whoever wins can just have a little jump in there, like, because it's so cool. I love that, you know, that tradition, well, started by Amy Alcott, is amazing. I don't know if I would want to do it, but well, I would, because that would mean I wouldn't major. But yeah, it'd be a shame for that to end.
The funny thing is, now it's such an ingrained part of the tapestry of the event, but it actually didn't catch on. It didn't catch on straight away, and so I think there was about a 6 or 7 year lag where Amy Alcott did it, and then no one else did it, and then it started, like, you know, maybe she got in someone's ear, because Amy's that kind of character where she'd be like, you know, she'd be like, go on, well, jump in, you know, go, and she'd probably just give them a little nudge towards it. And now it's just part of it. They've changed the pool. They've changed Poppy's Pond over the years as well, because I think it was, you talk about, was it Stacey Lewis's mum, I think?
No, it was her mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, and she broke her leg on the way in, because the pool was quite shallow. So everyone knows that if you win at Mission Hills, you've got to really take a run up and try and get into the deep part of the pool. But they've kind of cleaned it out. Now it looks like it's all crystal blue and clear. You'll see it on the weekend, and hopefully we have a really good winner jumping into it.
Who is most likely going to be jumping into the lovely clear pool of water this weekend?
Oh, I like this. I like this. You get a couple of tips. I mean, it's, you know, there's a couple of names that spring to mind. Actually, you know what? Nana Madsen, who's now, you know, she's played a win and a runner-up, two playoffs in a row, 3 weeks separated. She came third here last year, and it's a long hitters golf course. And so I definitely wouldn't count her out, you know, and she's actually had a couple of really decent finishes in the majors as well. And now I think she's got a little bit more confidence. Who's your pick? I mean, it's hard to go past like Jin Young or Attire, isn't it, Beth?
Definitely. I mean, it seems like Jin Young Ko doesn't really know how to lose. So I'd be surprised, you know, if she didn't win genuinely. But yeah, at Ataya as well, obviously in amazing form. But yeah, my pick is Jin Young for sure.
I think, you know, you touch on form, and we should probably say she's won four of her last six starts. But it was like the thing that, so I was there in Singapore, and the thing that you find fascinating is about, like I do at least, is what other players think going into a final round. And so I was down on the range, like kind of, you know, seeing how everyone was warming up and seeing if everyone looks like loose, or, you know, what kind of drills they're doing pre-game. And I spoke to Dean Hurdon, who was on the bag of the 54-hole leader, who was in Ji Chun, and she was one ahead. And I went, you know, away from kind of pulled him away and said, you know, how's she feeling? And he goes, she's looking great. She's never hit the ball better. But we know it's Jin Young Ko, and she's the best closer in the game. And I was like, oh,
okay.
You know, that's, I mean, and terms, and that's not him not backing Inji. You know, he totally knew that her best golf, and she's playing some of the best golf of her career. It's great to see her back. But I just, you know, I think that when the players and the caddies that are trying to beat them give them the credit, and in the end she closed like a superstar, like the number one that she is, and held strong when kind of people faltered around her. But being a good closer, I mean, that's just huge in this game, isn't it?
So that's the professional ranks, but we do also have one of the biggest events of the amateur calendar this week as well, with the Augusta National Women's Amateur. So, it is a huge week for women's golf, and it follows a pretty unique format as well. Is that right, Beth?
Yeah. In fact, it starts later today, and rounds 1 and 2 are played on the Champions Retreat course in Augusta. Then you get a practice round on Friday on Augusta. And then the final round is, of course, on Augusta National, the Saturday. It's strange to stop an event in the middle of the week and then have a practice round and then start again. Yeah, it's unique, but also cool.
I guess it'd be exciting. But when you go around on the practice, that's when you go around, would it be with your caddy, and you work out all your shot? Basically, it's a really important part to prepare you for the next day.
Yep. You get a book and you get to, and that would be something you would keep forever, the book from Augusta National. So it's a course guide, and you go around and you play 18 holes and you try and guess where the pins are going to be and hit putts to each pin, sort of, and make a plan with your caddy is the main goal. So it'll be fun for them to enjoy the practice round, but it's also work because you need to study to try and win the event.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. It is exciting thinking about it for them as well. This is the third edition of this event, but it's already a big highlight of the amateur calendar. Do you think that's because it's Augusta and it's everyone's dream to play on that course? Do you think that's what it is? Have you both played there?
No,
I haven't. No, it's hallowed turf. You know, we actually had the chances, like when I was playing college golf, one of the teams I was on won the national championship. It had nothing to do with me, I can assure you. I'm pretty sure I came dead last. The team was invited, and my coach very sensibly and very annoyingly said, we can't take a trip down because you guys missed too much school already and prioritized our education. Blasphemy.
That's crazy.
Not bitter over here.
One day. And what do you win at that event?
Oh, well, entry into the US Women's Open and the AIG, which is massive for anybody, but certainly for an amateur. So that's and then just the prestige, of being an ANWA winner, yeah.
And who should we be looking out for at this event, by the way?
For me, the number one pick is Rose Zhang, she's playing some college, she's won a US Women's Amateur already. She's playing college golf at Stanford, and she won her first 3 college golf events. Like, she came in hot. And is just such an incredible player. She's actually interesting. She's just inked a deal for NIL. So what is it? Name, image, likeness, I think. Jenny, you probably you know all about that with all of your contracts.
Oh, yeah, millions of them, millions.
But she's just inked that deal with Callaway because of the change in rules in amateur status, which, I have to say, like, I quite like, it's such a grey area, the transition between being an elite amateur and a pro, but I love the fact that at least some of them can get some support for that transition, because often your parents pay while you're an amateur and then you're a pro and you have to play really well and you don't have a lot of bank in the bank balance. I don't think she'll be struggling too much with her golf game though, so she's number one on my list. How about, there's a couple of Scots playing, aren't there, BA?
Yes, past guest on the show and 21 amateur champion Louise Duncan, who I've spent quite a bit of time with, working a bit with Scottish golf, and then last year's girls champion Hannah Darling, who's also from the Edinburgh area. I'm looking forward to watching them and seeing how they go. Hannah Darling's been in great form. She plays for the University of South Carolina, and she recently finished 5th at Georgia's event, and is just such a good player. I had the pleasure of watching both of them at Curtis Cup last year, and they both just hit it so far. And saying that, and Hannah, she has tremendous drive and she's so focused for a young woman. I expect really big things from her, and I certainly won't be surprised if she does really well at ANWA.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's so many good players out there. I tell you what, I'm rooting for Louise here. I really want her to do well out there. That would be good. That would be really good.
Me too.
Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, look, I can't wait to hear how they've all done. Obviously, on the next show, we will look back on the Chevron Championship and the Augusta National Women's Amateur and see how they've all done. Beth, I know that you're going to be joining me for that. Ali, you are busy for a few weeks, but we are going to see you in a few weeks' time, a little later in the spring. So thank you so much for joining in today. It's been fun, hasn't it?
It's been really good. And it's been nice to have everyone on, you know, because I think we'll have few and far opportunities to all get together. And I'll be listening the episodes I'm not part of, I'll be listening keenly and see if Beth gets toppled off the top of par three, par four, par five. That she is the one to beat. She's announced herself.
Undefeated.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, if you've been listening to us today and you've been enjoying it, no matter what time zone you're in, whether you're in Australia, America, or in Britain like me, you can get in touch with the show by tweeting using the hashtag TWGS. And as I said at the start, if you're out playing golf, if you're listening while you're playing, please share your pictures with us and use the same hashtag. And obviously, make sure you subscribe to the Women's Golf Show as well so you do not miss an episode. And Beth, Ali, it has been a joy as always. We will see you very, very soon from all of us here. Bye-bye.